Welcome to All Sides Dan Fisher. We are approaching midpoint between the Memorial Day kickoff and the 4th of July. How has your summer cooking spree gone so far? Joining us today to talk about all things summer cooking is Dispatch food editor Robin Davis. Welcome back to the show, Robin.
Good morning. Thank you.
Question for our listeners, give us your absolute number one summer recipe, the one you can't go without. Share it on Facebook and call us to talk about it. You can call us at 614-292-8513. If you can't do that, you can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. Or you can go to the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page and post your question or comment there. But share your absolute number one summer recipe, the one you can't go without. We'd love to hear about it. So, Robin Davis, Bon Appetit last year suggested in a summer cooking rules feature, who likes rules, but that it's important to embrace laziness. And I can kind of wrap my brain around that rule.
Oh, I agree with that. And it's so easy to do in the summer because you have all that great produce, things that don't need to be cooked, like strawberries right now, you know, throw a little sugar on them, all the things that take just seconds to cook. And I'm all about eating cold food or room temperature food in the summer, you know, cook the chicken ahead and then eat it in a salad. I'm all about that. Keeping it simple.
Keeping it simple. Yeah, and also if you're the farmer's market's going on, and that's great if you can get to it, but it's really great to just walk out to the yard and snip the lettuce like I did last night for the first time.
Right, exactly. And I have an herb garden. I don't have lettuces. The deer tend to eat all my lettuces, anything else I've tried to grow, but the herbs they leave alone. And there's nothing like it. That, you know, the basil in particular, that to me is the flavor of summer. If I put a whole basil leaf even on my turkey sandwich, I feel like it's summertime.
Right. Yeah. And just as a note for the garden, I've discovered a trick. I hope it's a trick, and I hope it's not just my imagination. But we put our dog's toys in and around the garden, and I switch them out so they've been freshly chewed on. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So far, it works because I did catch a rabbit in there the other day, and they hightailed it out and stayed out. So laziness doesn't have to mean not delicious.
Right, absolutely not. In the summer, especially, laziness just means being simple with your preparations. I always think my favorite summer meals are what I pick up at the farmer's market. You know, when July hits, I'm always going to have corn. I'm going to have corn on the cob. I'm going to have fresh sliced tomatoes with nothing more than sea salt. I'm probably going to have a pretty simple piece of grilled chicken or steak or fish, and then maybe some steamed green beans and watermelon. You know, that's my summer meal. And the meals tend to get bigger and bigger as the summer goes on because there's so much. There's nothing difficult about putting it together, and there's nothing fancy about it either.
And I like the recipes that I can just remember off the top of my head. I don't have to go to a recipe book anymore.
That's exactly right. I mean, I don't really pull them out unless I'm baking something. And even that, I've got a few things that I can just kind of put together enough. Desserts are even really simple. You just take some of those great berries or peaches and put some Jenny's ice cream or Grater's ice cream on it. You've got a great dessert, and you don't have to have a recipe at all for that.
614-292-8513. That's the number to call to share your favorite summer cooking recipe. My guest is Robin Davis, food editor for the Columbus Dispatch. Been reading her summer recipes for how many years now, Robin?
It's 11 years in September.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think you were grimacing, but I don't think you
were. It's not grimacing. It's,
Wow.
Just kind of like, really?
Yeah.
11 years?
Has anything changed over that time? Because you came from San Francisco, right?
I did.
Any big difference between cooking in the summer in San Francisco, which doesn't really have the same kind of summer we do, if it has one at all, and coming to the Midwest like you have?
Well, there is a huge difference because San Francisco doesn't have a summer. I mean, they say Mark Twain said it, and I guess he didn't really, but the coldest winter he ever spent was a summer in San Francisco. And it's true. And you get used to that cool, damp fogginess unless you go to wine country or you go to Marin. And then you have the most beautiful summer hot weather, no rain. So up there, you're doing more of the traditional grilling, things like that. Here we have a true summer, one that feels so fantastic. Even, I mean, you may not agree with me, but even the humidity makes me feel like cooking differently than I might do the rest of the year. I, you know, know, I want to cook quickly, and then I want to enjoy the food, and I want to enjoy it outside. In San Francisco proper, you're not doing a whole lot of that. There's about 2 weeks out of the year that you can do that in San Francisco.
And they're in March or February,
very strangely, in March and in October. October is a beautiful month to be in the Bay Area.
Do you, so your cooking changed to adapt to it. And by the way, I do love the 90 degrees in humidity because you got to learn to love where you're at or you're going to be an unhappy person most of the time. Farley in Worthington, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Farley.
Hey, if you want to keep the deer and the rabbit and all your little pests out of your garden, just go to Strader's or your local garden store and buy bone meal or blood meal and put it around the perimeter of your garden, because that is a marker for those guys. It's like, oh, there's a predator around here, and they smell that, and they stay away.
Right.
Oh, I love it. That's a great idea.
And it's simple, and it's simple, and it's easy, and you can buy a bag of...
Oops, we lost Farley, but we got your idea, Farley. Thanks so much. It was a great idea. Because, if you can't save the veggies you've been growing, what's the point?
Yeah, I don't mind feeding the rabbits, but come on. It's supposed to feed me.
Yeah, I caught it in the garden once. I said, I'll never catch you again. You mentioned tomatoes, and I saw a great recipe for a tomato sandwich. Toast, tomato, salt, maybe a little mayo, and some lettuce.
And the only I do a little bit of basil, or I'll make a basil mayonnaise with, you know, and I use prepared mayonnaise. I'm not going to bother with making homemade mayonnaise in the summertime, or really any time, to be honest with you. So, you know, basil and a little bit of garlic if you want. And that's a great BLT, but just with the tomatoes right from the garden. And I'm very picky. I mean, I'll get my tomatoes at the farmer's market or from someone's garden if they offer them to me. But I'm not generally getting the ones, and I'm definitely not buying them in the winter in January, because there's no flavor to that.
I've given that up. I gave it up last year, finally.
I remember going to a farmer's market in San Francisco with a friend of mine, and I bought a bag of cherry tomatoes, and I was sitting there eating them like candy, which is really what I do. She asked to try them, and she said, oh, what kind of tomato is this? And I said, it's a fresh tomato. It's not a supermarket tomato.
It's been trucked from Mexico.
Right, exactly. And it's one that they picked hours before. And I know we talk about that a lot, but such a difference, especially with tomatoes. And I will keep a bag at my desk and I'll eat them like candy. They're so good. So good.
I'm growing some of those this year. I'm growing, I think, five or six different kinds, and including one that's a special Roma that they say works particularly well in salsas. So I don't know if that makes a difference or it's just a selling point.
Right.
I'm not sure. 614-292-8513. Share your favorite summer recipe. We want to hear it. You can post the recipe on Facebook, All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page, but we'd love to hear from you to explain why it's your favorite recipe. You talk about, well, another one of those rules in the Bon Appetit that I thought was really interesting was that no dish should be served piping hot.
I agree with that. I'm definitely a room temperature or cold person in the summertime. Even if I've taken something off of the grill, if I've taken chicken off, you know, let it cool down a little bit. You don't want anything piping hot. And if you're having soup, you don't even want it. You don't want it hot at all. You want it room temperature or cold. And I think the flavors are better. I mean, certainly in winter, we want the heat and the warmth. But in the summertime, yeah, I want cold food. Cold food at most room temperature.
Yeah, we had steak last night, but it's where you really want to let it rest. There's no reason to have it hot. And then I'm having a steak sandwich today.
Oh, see, we're doing steak tonight, and then we'll be having steak salad tomorrow for lunch.
And you had salmon.
We did. We had wild salmon last night, which is another thing that's a great summertime thing, and it's a great season. We don't have to feel guilty about eating wild salmon this year because it's really coming back. And so we had that, and we had quinoa with peas, which I loved very much. Just simple, and I had gotten such big pieces of fish that we really couldn't eat it all. That 4 to 6 ounces of wild salmon is plenty, and these were really 8 ounce pieces. So we're going to be having that for our lunch today.
And quinoa, that's one of your favorites.
Yeah, I like it a lot because it has a slightly different flavor. It's a little nuttier, and you can mix anything into it. It's like rice, but certainly the nutritional profile, so much better. Lots of protein, really good for you. And I don't feel like I'm eating it because it's good for me. I feel like I eat it because it tastes so good and it's so versatile. And you could do it with fish, you can do it with chicken, you could even do it completely meatless. And you know, stir in a little cheese, a little feta cheese maybe, or ricotta salata. Really nice, a lovely way to eat that. And it's great cold. It's good hot, but it's good cold as a salad too.
And the peas?
The peas peas are terrific, and they're in season right now. You can definitely get them from some from pick your own places. And if you do, and if you get them from the farmer's market, use them right away because they will start to turn, that sugar will start to turn to starch. So frozen peas are actually great to use all year long, but they actually have a great flavor if you don't have the option of getting fresh peas, or if, you know, getting them out of the pods is a little much for you, which it kind of is. It's a little bit of work, but... But
you
worth
know,
it.
Watermelon's getting a whole different take these last few years.
And watermelon, we're starting to kind of go savory with it. And I sometimes get a little bit of resistance to it. But I've made a watermelon salad with onions and feta cheese and even olives. And it really kind of gives you that sweet saltiness. Now, when I grew up, and I grew up in Dayton, my family put salt on their watermelon. And I was like, no.
Yeah,
not doing it.
Some people did that in my family too, but
and
no.
I don't get it. But definitely that was a family thing. Now I'm turning around going, okay, but I will use it in a salad. And then there's also salsas that they'll make with tomatoes and watermelon in the same dish. And again, you get that sweet, bright flavor, and it's terrific.
Something
really great.
Crunchy. And the feta, yeah, there's something about that cheese. It's not super, it doesn't have a lot of intense flavor to it. It just offsets it.
Right, just a little bit. And I think it gives you just enough saltiness. And there's very little in summer that is as fantastic to me as ice-cold watermelon. I always laugh when I'm cutting one up because by the time I've cut it up and got it on the table, there's about as much of it in me as there is on the table. It's like a bite for me and a bite for them. So it's so good.
Beets do that to me now.
Really?
I started, beets are my new favorite, and I started roasting them.
Yep.
And I always leave a little bit at the end left over so that when I'm cleaning up the kitchen, I can keep continue to eat the beets. They're not quite in season right now.
Well, I think they are, aren't they?
Maybe someplace where they started growing them really, really early.
But you haven't seen them at markets yet. Maybe it's a little further.
Maybe
further
I
down.
Haven't. I'm confusing last year's with this year's, maybe. But
beets are so good for you too. Now, I always have the funny thing where I go, I don't like beets, and that's not what I mean at all. I mean, I don't like canned pickled beets, which is what I grew up on. Every time I have a fresh roasted beet, that again you can put in a salad with a little bit of orange juice, feta cheese, and onion, and I just love them. Or like you, they are like candy. They are so sweet, so fantastic, and you can just eat them. I would do the same thing. I would leave a little bit or steal them from other people's plates. You know, be like, oh, you didn't eat it. I'm eating
really
that.
You really want that much? I toss them a little olive oil, salt, sea salt, and pepper, and roast them away until they start caramelizing a little bit in the oven.
Yeah.
Yum, yum. My guest is Robin Davis, food editor for the Columbus Dispatch. We're talking about summer eating. If you have a great idea, give us a call, 614-292-8513. We'd love to hear what your favorite must-have summer food is. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
After the military intervention in Libya, President Obama trumpeted decisive action to protect civilians. Now, more than a year after the bloody crackdown started, Kofi Annan declares Syria at the tipping point, and the White House responds with more sanctions and more diplomacy, which many complain don't go nearly far enough. I'm Neil Conan. The President's choices on Syria, next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And Talk of the Nation this afternoon from 2 until 4 on 89.7 NPR News. 71 degrees in downtown Columbus, sunshine today and a high of 75. Partly cloudy tonight and a low of 53 degrees. Sunshine for Tuesday with a chance of showers in the afternoon, a high of 70. Clouds again Tuesday night, a low of 53.
Support for 89.7 comes from the Nobo on Long Condos, offering homeownership opportunities in the King Lincoln District featuring green design buildings within walking distance of local stores and restaurants. Details at homeportohio.org/Nobo on Long.
All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
We are talking about our favorite summer cooking ideas. Give us a call and share yours. Cooking, we're loosely defining that as whatever you eat has been cooked, meaning you've eaten it, so it's ready. It's been prepared. How about that? Our favorite summer food prep. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. If you're just joining us, my guest is Robin Davis, food editor for the Columbus Dispatch. Cassie in Newark, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Cassie.
Thank you. Well, my favorite, I love greens, any kind of greens. It doesn't matter what kind it is. And so my answer to any of them is garlic and olive oil.
Yep.
So, you know, saute the garlic in the olive oil. Add your greens, let it wilt a little bit, and then I add like a can of Great Northern beans, and then I'm done. That's my meal.
Oh, that's a great idea. That sounds really delicious.
That does sound good.
Anything that's heavier, like kale or collards, mm-hmm. things like that, I tend to need to steam them first. But anything, even lettuce wilts nicely and makes a nice green as well.
It does. Now, my family used to make we called it a wilted spinach or a wilted lettuce salad, and we would pick greens right from the garden, cook a little bit of bacon, throw in some vinegar, and then put the greens in just until they were slightly wilted. And I think it was, you know, frisée and some of the other a little bit sturdier lettuces. Absolutely delicious. Still one of my very favorite memories that I had actually forgotten until you brought that up.
Right now I have a lot of lamb's quarters in my garden that are weeds, but they're edible, so I'm going to cut them off and cook them.
Hey, why not?
Yeah.
Get back at the weeds.
Yeah.
That's right. You can't beat them, eat them.
All right. Thanks, Cassie.
You're welcome.
Take care. Give us your idea, 614-292-8513. And Cameron in Newark, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you today?
Fine, thank you.
Good. My favorite summertime lunch or light dinner is a New Orleans muffaletto sandwich along with a spinach salad.
Mm-hmm.
And since the basis of a muffaletto is a combination of green olives with pimentos and black olives chopped up and some marinated Italian-style vegetables, we like to have as a contrast a spinach salad with maybe some walnuts, raisins or dried cranberries and a creamy Italian or Caesar style dressing on it.
Now that's great. That's a great way to go. That sandwich is good because you need to make it ahead to get it so that all the flavors combine. I think that's the perfect thing to take on a picnic because it transports so well. And it is great because, you know, there's not much preparation. I mean, you have to layer everything. You have to make that olive vegetable relish, but it's very simple, all things considered, and absolutely delicious. Love the idea of pairing it with a salad because that sandwich isn't exactly what you would call light. So nice to get the greens in with it.
No, it's you know, as far as it's a substantial sandwich, but it is cool. And what we usually do is serve it on the Italian cheese rolls that have the cheese melted on the top. I can't think of it. It's not Parmesan.
Okay.
Asiago.
Okay.
Yeah. Asiago roll. Cut an Asiago roll in half. And, and the bread often, a lot of times they're served with a really heavy bread. You know, muffaletto loaf is very heavy, but we like to sort of lighten the bread a little bit, and that's what we use on that. But, yeah, you do have to make the relish up a day ahead, and we save the olive jars and let it, you know, since it makes twice as much, let it sit in there. And the longer it sits, the better it tastes.
Oh, absolutely. Now, do you make the sandwich ahead? Because I like to make the sandwich a few hours ahead, too, to let all of it get nice and mushy. But you do need a pretty sturdy bread to hold up to that.
You know, we're lucky enough to plan the relish ahead, you know.
Anything else, that's too much. I get you.
we do put the relish on both sides of the bread.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it is a little bit different than what Americans, I think, are used to eating. And I honestly don't understand why it hasn't become more popular as a sandwich. I've seen it in bars sometimes, but it's just real tasty. And like I say, it is cold. And you don't have to have an inch of meat on it. I mean, we use ham. I like to use a little bit of bologna if I can get it. Italian mortadella, and a good quality salami. I think the key is the quality of the meat you use.
Right, not the quantity. I agree, because there, in general, if you order that sandwich, it's way more meat than everything else. And the first thing I tend to do is pick off half the meat, and then, because I love the olive relish, that to me is my favorite part.
Yeah,
right. And since it uses provolone cheese, I can't call it low calorie, but and of course, the lunch meal I just described isn't either. So we'll just forget that topic.
Okay. Cameron, thanks.
Sure thing. Take care now.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. If you'd like to give us a call, 614-292-8513, and share your favorite summer cooking idea, give us a call. You can also go to the email, allsides@wosu.org. And Nicole in Wellington, about 55 miles southwest of Cleveland. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
What's your fave?
My fave is this grilled cheese sandwich with ham, basil, and tomato.
Oh, that sounds good.
That sounds really good. We were kind of poo-pooing cooking, but there's a nice grill option.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Do you use a special kind of bread for that?
I use sourdough bread. My little brother, all the time I come down home to visit, he begs me to make it.
It sounds delicious. Yeah, I think grilled sandwiches are a great summer thing.
Hey, Nicole.
Yeah?
Give it to me again. Though you like it with grilled cheese?
It's a grilled cheese sandwich on sourdough bread with basil and tomato. And for the butter, instead of just using butter, you use garlic pieces, and it gives it this nice taste and a nice crunch to it. It's really good.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that, Nicole.
You're welcome.
Take care.
You too.
Howard in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Howard.
Yeah, hi, guys. You were killing me with your descriptions of watermelon. Two of my favorites are watermelon gazpacho, as easy as could be to make up in a food processor. Simple, cold, delightful, and you can take it with you. You can pack it up, take it off for a picnic, whatever. But watermelon gazpacho and heirloom tomatoes of multicolor layered on a nice serving platter with a tarragon vinaigrette on it, light tarragon vinaigrette. It'll let it sit around for a little bit and age, and it's just utterly delightful. It was two of my favorite summer activities, and I can do them over and over and over again. I think they're a highlight of summer.
Oh, those just sound great. And I love the idea of tarragon with the tomatoes, because we've been talking about it. We always think of basil, but tarragon has that fantastic flavor that I think we overlook, and it is also perfect for summer. And a watermelon gazpacho, yeah, you can't go wrong with that.
Well, let's talk about the watermelon gazpacho. What goes into it, Howard?
I vary, but the classics of onions, and took out a couple of herbs in there, and you can find a jillion different variations on the theme. Robin, I don't know what you put in yours, but you can put lots of good things in. Mm-hmm. It's just a freshness that really matter. And I think the sweet savory thing with the onion in there matters a lot too.
Do you put any vinegar in it? I always do vinegar with my tomato gazpacho.
Yeah, I do lightly to get some more of the acidity in there, not overdoing it.
Right, and you have to be careful with both the tomato and the watermelon version. But yeah, wow, that sounds really, really good.
It's something so wonderful about the freshness and brightness of a sweet summer watermelon, even more than the tomato gazpacho. I don't know. There are times I can't figure out if it should be a dessert or a food.
It's true.
Right.
It's true.
By the way, your comment about San Francisco, my other home is in Palo Alto, and San Fran is that cool, cool, cool evenings, and doing things outdoors are probably not quite the same thing as Napa, which is quite warm, or the Mills. No Valley area, but the peninsula below San Francisco, every evening is a sit outside. Why on earth would you eat inside?
Right, right. It is that perfect summer weather, and that is something that the areas surrounding San Francisco have. They have that beautiful, that beautiful, perfect, never go inside kind of weather, because it's never that hot. It gets a little hot inland, but it's never so hot to be uncomfortable.
Exactly. It's in the 70s and perfect. And this week, for all of our local listeners, this week is that Bay Area weather. Columbus, it's going to be 70s and dry and whatever all week long. And that's perfect. That's what those evenings are like.
Yep.
So I don't intend to be indoors any night this week.
Have fun, guys.
Love your program.
Thank you, Howard. Thanks a lot. If you're just joining us, this is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News, and my guest is Robin Davis. She's the food editor for the Columbus Dispatch. We're talking about our favorite food for summer. We'd love to hear from you. We have an email from Samantha. She says, my new favorite things are recipes that combine watermelon and feta.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of different ideas out there, and I love those two items together. Right, we agree.
Yeah.
Email from Alex. This is from Northern Europe, cucumber dill salad. Peel a cucumber and cut into thin slices, toss these with a bit of salt, and let them rest in a colander.
Mm-hmm.
They will shed water, so your dressing won't be runny. Finally, chop some fresh dill, make a 50-50 mix of sour cream and plain yogurt, and you won't need very much. Mix in the cucumber and dill. You could also add minced red onion if you like.
Oh, that's another one that's really great. And we forget about cucumbers. You say cool as a cucumber for a reason. They really are that great cooling food. My mom used to take cucumbers from the garden, and she would slice them up, put a little bit of vinegar, a little bit of sugar, and ice cubes on them. And she would let that sit while she made the rest of dinner. And then by the time dinner was there, they were so bright and cold. And they had the vinegariness, but it was diluted, so they weren't completely pickly.
Sugar kind of settled it down, right?
Exactly. But I loved that dish. And,
wow.
That was terrific. And something else I hadn't thought of until we heard
that
salad.
My big regret today is I did not get enough breakfast. I'm really getting hungry. Email from Phil. It's about cucumbers as well. He says, I like a CLT sandwich. It's made with cucumber, lettuce, and tomato. I spread hummus on the top bun, which adds a nice flavor and holds the cucumbers in place. Good point. Onions and sliced mushrooms are optional alternatives for the cucumbers. These are great in the summer, cool and crunchy.
Love that. Love the idea of the hummus as sticking the cucumbers in place, because they do tend to slide around a bit. And tomatoes. It would work with tomatoes as well, keeping them in place. I love the idea of hummus.
I grew up with the cucumber and cream cheese sandwich,
which
I still love.
Mm-hmm.
I still love that combination of flavors. And Angie in New Albany, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Angie.
Oh, hi. Thank you. My absolute favorite is, I'm a California native and of Mexican descent, so I love ceviche, the new one I started making is a shrimp ceviche with lemon, cilantro, cucumbers, tomatoes, onions, and a little bit of jalapeno or anything spicy if you want it. So that's one of my favorites.
I love that. I love to do that with scallops, especially with bay scallops. Those are the little ones, right? I never remember. Because it's like this fabulously pickled fish. It's so cool, so fantastic.
And I think for people who've never had it, they're just amazed that the lemon juice actually cooks it. Like, it's like, are you sure it's okay to eat it?
Right.
I'm like, yes. But my other, earlier you were talking about kale, and my sister is a raw food chef preparer.
Mm-hmm.
What she says about kale, if you chop it very finely, if you massage it or stick it in a big, storage bag, and then shake it with a dressing, it will shrink in size, and then that makes it not as tough to chew.
I've heard about the massaging before.
Yes. I have one where it's like garlic and salt, olive oil, and you it's so funny. It goes from, 5 cups of the same thing to this small, it looks like, 2 cups of kale, and it really, really makes it edible raw without having to steam it or anything else.
So how long does that take? Is it 5 minutes? Is it 10 minutes?
It's not even more than 10 minutes.
Interesting.
You will, and if you use your hands, in a big salad bowl, and you kind of keep flipping it over, and you will visibly see it shrink. And then you taste it, and it's and especially if it's chopped thinly, it's not that, you know, kind of fibrous. It really kind of breaks it down. So,
okay, like long thin strips, like kind of folded over and
you kind of roll it, you know, like like you would do like
a basil leaf, chiffonade,
exactly,
right.
Yes, and then you just chop it, and then you know, like the recipe I have, I think it's like a clove of garlic, you know, smashed with some salt and a some type of sour, so you know, juice, like lemon juice, a quarter cup lemon juice, and just 3 tablespoons of olive oil, and that's your dressing. And you can top it with, you know, Parmesan or pepper flakes or whatever, but it really breaks it down. I highly recommend that.
Three of my favorite flavors, basil, I'm sorry, lemon, garlic, and olive oil.
Yes, it's so good.
Well, thanks, Angie.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you very much.
Have a great day.
Okay, love the show.
Thank you.
Bye.
From Aaron on Facebook writes, tomato, basil, mozzarella, and vinaigrette screams summer to me.
Absolutely. And you can eat that, too. You can make a bruschetta, an open-faced sandwich, or a sandwich. I love it on my pizza. If I'm grilling pizza, that's pretty much what's going on top of it.
You know, I saw something today, and I can't remember where I saw. I was preparing for the show, but they chop up their tomatoes and their garlic and anything they might put into a tomato sauce, really, and then put it in the sun.
Oh, for how long?
They didn't really say, but they just put it in the sun, let it warm up a little bit, and then use it as a sauce. So, you know, there's no cooking.
Well, and that's kind of what you do when you do a no-cook sauce. You literally can do that. Chop up some tomatoes, some garlic, and then you get your pasta cooking if you're doing it with pasta or if you're putting it on pizza.
And that can kind of...
Yeah, absolutely. And it just, it breaks it down just a little bit, letting, really, I think it's the salt and the tomatoes that'll bring out a juice, which is a kind of sauce. It's very light. It's not going to be thick like your cooked tomato sauce, but perfect for summer. And it's already room temperature.
And then from Julie on Facebook, portobello mushrooms, red peppers, and zucchini on the grill, olive oil, a little lemon juice and salt, pepper, and a little garlic if I'm feeling really ambitious.
And that is perfect, too. And the other thing that's great is that can be a meal on its own, or you can make it a sandwich. Sometimes I will make, I'm not a big hamburger person, so I will occasionally eat a portobello burger. I'll use it for that. I love that we're hearing about all these vegetables. Do you notice that?
Yes.
Lots of vegetables.
Yeah. Yes. Lots of vegetables and lots of great ways to prepare them. With Robin Davis, she's a food editor for the Columbus Dispatch. We'll return to our conversation about our favorite summer foods in a minute. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
On the next Fresh Air, the United States' clandestine cyber war against Iran. We talk with New York Times reporter David Sanger about the computer worms, including Stuxnet, the U.S. developed in tandem with Israel to disable Iran's nuclear centrifuges. Sanger's new book is called Confront and Conceal, Obama's Secret Wars and Surprising Use of American Power. Join us.
And Fresh Air begins later today at noon on 89.7 NPR News. Stay right here in 20 minutes at 11 o'clock. Hour 2 of All Sides begins with a discussion of creative education in the summer. Our guests will be Mimi Chenfeld, author and educator, and Nicole Nesda, another author and educator. Stay with us for All Sides from 11 till noon. And it's 72 degrees in downtown Columbus. Sunshine today, a high of 77. Partly cloudy for tonight, a low of 53 degrees. Sunshine with a slight chance of rain on Tuesday, a high of 70. Partly cloudy Tuesday night, a low of 53. Be sure to visit WOSU.org/allsides. There you can listen to the archive, which includes audio and video of every show. You can also download the All Sides podcast. Visit WOSU.org/allsides. And the program continues on 89.7 NPR News.
We're talking about our favorite foods to cook for summer. What's your favorite food? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, and share it with Robin Davis, food editor for the Columbus Dispatch, and me. You can also go onto Facebook and post your comment there. If you have any questions, of course, Robin's ready, willing, and able. From Terry on Facebook, Terry writes, fried green tomatoes make me think of summer.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. And then they're great. We tend to think of them as being the beginning of the season and definitely the end of the season when you need to use up those green tomatoes. And yeah, there's not much better than that. Cornmeal dusted, fried, little basil mayonnaise. Delicious.
Yes, very, very good. So what to avoid? What do you think some people think, you know, are great for summer, but it's really not. I mean, it's not. Maybe it's something to think twice about.
Well, I mean, I know people love to grill and they love to do those long, slow grilled things. But to me, that's kind of torturous because it's way too hot. And when it comes to my grill, I have to admit, I'll probably get in trouble for saying this. I'm a high heat, throw it on, get it off. I don't do a lot of temperature variation. I should probably do more. So I definitely think that. And then I also think anything that is a long cooked sauce, anything that you have to cook for a long period of time, even if it is a tomato sauce and you've got those beautiful, ripe, fresh tomatoes. I just think standing in the kitchen doing that. Now, my exception, of course, is with jams and jellies and canning, because I will do that. And I'll do that so that I can enjoy all those flavors later in the winter. So that's a sacrifice. But to eat it right away, I'm not a big fan. I have a wonderful tomato sauce. My sister's birthday is in August, and she always wants that for her birthday. But it takes 2 hours to cook. And, you know, that's a long time for
one. One suggestion I have had before when Lynn Alley's been on the show is the slow cooker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you don't have to fuss with it. It's
right
there. It's not heating up the whole kitchen.
Right.
It's kind of confined, and it is an option. And I never thought of it before, but I'm thinking twice, maybe if there's something you really do want to make that's a long cook.
That's a great idea. I do my apple butter in a slow cooker because I really don't have the patience. Plus, there's all the burns you get with the popping apple butter, which is worse than all the other things. But I think that would definitely work with your tomato sauces and such. That's a great idea. And then it's also, you know, because it gets back to the laziness, right?
Right. Yeah,
we don't want anything
that
we have to really do. But if you put it in a slow cooker, you're not doing anything.
And if you're going to do gazpacho, why don't you have people come over beforehand and help you chop everything up
and
make it together? Mm-hmm. Because it's not like it's going to be a hot kitchen.
Right.
Charcoal grills making a comeback.
They sure are. And I'm playing with mine now. But I'm just learning. I so use my grill as a quick, convenient tool, outside tool. I need to play around a little bit more with the charcoal grill. But people swear by it, swear by the flavor. And there really is nothing quite like getting that real smoke flavor that you don't get so much from a grill.
I agree. I was almost going to inherit my mom's Weber, and then she decided to keep it. So I'm still waiting. You know, you talk about the big, long grill operations, and I completely agree. I have tried ribs in the summer, and they're really good.
Mm-hmm,
you know, they're great,
but
maybe you cook them a little bit in the oven, and then you do the grill. But whatever, I did do a brisket on Christmas Eve this year, and it was great. I got up early in the morning. I did the all-day brisket, but it was out in the grill. It was outside.
You did it on the grill. Okay.
Kind of cold. Yeah, I did it. I smoked it in the grill, and then I brought it in, and I cooked it for a couple hours in the mm-hmm. oven after that. But it was really fun to do that way.
Right. And that's generally what I tend to do, but I do it exactly the opposite. I'll cook it in the oven for a couple hours. And then what I'll usually do too, because brisket can fall apart, mm-hmm. I will take it out, cool it completely, and then the next day I throw it on the grill and put on whatever sauce I might be doing. And that warms it up, not too much, but it warms it up, and then it also gives the meat a chance to kind of come back together. I do the same thing with corned beef when we're doing corned beef and cabbage. I cook it the day before, and then you get nicer slices. It's like it just congeals a little bit better.
614-292-8513. If you want to give us a call, share your favorite idea for food in the summer. This is a perfect time to talk about summer. We've just wrapped up Memorial Weekend. Mm-hmm. Maybe we know what works and what doesn't. We have to remind ourselves. And 4th of July is coming up. So, and you know, the way the weather's been lately, we never know what it's going to be like.
That's exactly right. I mean, a week ago, it was 95 degrees, and this weekend was pretty much what I call perfect. You know, you get to wear a sweater at night, but you're perfectly comfortable during the day, and unlimited amounts of sunshine.
Essential tools of summer cooking. the salad spinner is screaming at me, particularly if you do a lot of things from the garden.
Right, absolutely. And it's really important to have that. You can do the towel thing, which is when I was in cooking school, that's what we would always do.
I've done that where you whip it around.
Right, and that's fun, but it does tend to get messy, especially if you do it in the house. You have to do that outside. The salad spinner is absolutely the way to go. And you have to do that because you need to drain that water away or your dressing won't stay on your greens.
I want to get a smaller spinner, though. I've got a big one, a nice Xylus. It's really, really nice. But I want to get something smaller when I'm doing smaller amounts because it's kind of ridiculous.
Right. And you feel like you have to fill the whole thing. Yeah. I agree with that.
LaVon in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I wanted to bring about a little more gender balance in the commentators that are on the air with you. I wanted to comment on my gazpacho recipe. There's a fairly standard one in the Better Homes and Gardens cookbook, but I add to that a chopped up celery, very finely chopped, and then also I found that avocado. And I tried it once, and I thought maybe it might turn dark in the gazpacho, but it maintains its color, and it sure adds both color and some flavor to the
because of the acids,
the right? The acids in the tomato and any other acid you might be adding.
Sure.
Yeah,
that's a great idea.
Okay, great, LaVon, and you're not the only guy to call in. By the way, we've had three others, I think. Maybe you just joined us.
Good. Well, we're keeping a balance then.
We do welcome you, though. Thanks for calling, LaVon.
All the best. Bye bye.
614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You know, the microwave can come in handy in the summer.
Absolutely.
If you do need to cook something.
I agree with that. And it is the one thing, I mean, aside from leftovers, which I use my microwave for, I will use it to cook vegetables. Asparagus, green beans, it's a great way to do that. You put them in a shallow bowl with just a touch of water, cover them with a little bit of plastic wrap, and then, you know, cook for maybe 2 minutes. It's also very efficient from an energy standpoint. You know, you're not getting out a pot and you're not, you know, heating up the water or whatever else. So that's a great way, and it doesn't heat up your kitchen, you know, which is nice. And that is almost universally. I do my corn there as well if I'm not doing it on the grill.
I saw a great recipe saying don't even cook the corn. Just scrape it off the husk. And you can toss it. Do you make a raw corn salad?
I have, but I want to make sure that it's the corn that, you know, really
super
was
sweet.
Like super sweet and picked that morning kind of thing. You know, that was always what the farmers would say is you start the water boiling and you go pick the corn. That's how fresh it should be.
Okay.
And we certainly have varieties like that now. I don't mind eating raw corn when I'm cutting it off to make a chowder or something. Then I'm picking it up and eating it. And corn's another one of those things. I'll make like 6 ears. There's five of us, and me and one of my stepdaughters will eat them all. I mean, it'll be like, hey, you didn't get out. Can I just use that? I'm going to eat that one for you. It's a little insane.
We lived next to a cornfield when I was a kid in Wisconsin, and the owner, the farmer, actually gave my mom permission to go out and pick corn when she wanted to. It was really nice.
Did you ever try it raw?
I have tried it raw, but not then, not when I was a child.
Right.
But then we did have people calling up last week about grilling corn and how to grill corn properly. And there are a couple different ways to do it. What are your favorites?
There are, well, if you want to leave the husk on, which is I kind of do a steamy version, you know, you peel it back, but leave it attached, take all the silks off, and then I'll soak the corn so that it's more steamy. I put the husks back on and I grill it that way. The other thing you can do, if you really don't need it to be cooked very much, is just slather some butter or some flavored butter on and just cook it until you get grill marks. And I'm most likely to do it that way. And then you still get almost the crunch of that corn with the smokiness from the grill. And that's pretty fantastic.
That's probably my favorite way to do it, too. I do a butter, unsalted butter, a little bit of Grey Poupon or Dijon, I should say, and then a little splash of Worcestershire sauce.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And some chives, chopped fresh chives.
Love that.
Mix it all up. It's, so it's got a little bit of bite to it. And just, you know, slather it on and grill it, just like you mentioned. And
Yeah. Do you ever do cheese, like a grated cheese, a Parmesan,
or
something like that? Yeah, that'd be good. And then people south of the border have great ways of doing it, where they'll do lime juice and they'll do some of the other crumbly cheeses, cumin.
Yeah, now you're getting
really
good. Getting me to think about grilled or roasted potatoes in the summer is great to toss with fresh herbs.
Absolutely, absolutely. And what I usually do, I'll use new potatoes or Yukon Gold potatoes. You can do the others, but you really need to cut them.
Right.
And the other thing you can do, and I do this a lot, is I'll make hobo packs or, you know, and papillote, but you do it in foil. And you can just throw whatever you want in there and cook them. I make little packs when I'm doing the anything, really. I don't have one of those grill pans that you can throw everything in. I just tend to use foil for it, and you just throw whatever you want. But, yeah, grilled potatoes are great. Really, the easiest thing is if you can steam them a little bit ahead. The microwave's great for that.
True.
And then you can get the grill marks to finish the cooking and get that nice smoky flavor.
Right. And then you just toss them with the fresh afterwards,
Parmesan,
the fresh herbs, the thyme or the basil or whatever it's going to be. I like thyme and oregano.
And rosemary. Rosemary and potatoes are fantastic.
Right. If you want to give us a call, 614-292-8513. There's nobody waiting. So you can give us a call right now. We'll pick it up right away. My guest, once again, Robin Davis, food editor for the Columbus Dispatch, and we are definitely talking about food. So, you mentioned you like to just, if you're going to do a grill job, you're going to do it quick. What about chicken?
Well, I tend to use the boneless, skinless chicken breasts. And you have to cook it quick enough, but you don't want to make it black on the outside. And everybody needs to get used to their grill that way. I've pretty much got it down. I know how to do it. I can get that nice diamond pattern on it and get it cooked through. Remember that your grill is like an oven. Once you close it, it's like an oven. And it cooks really quickly. You just need to make sure that you've got something to keep it from drying out too much. Now, if I'm doing something, you know, that chicken on the bone or doing a larger piece of meat, then you need to turn it down just a little bit. You need to get the grill marks on it, get it seared, and then either move it to a different part of the grill that's cooler, or just turn that heat down. On a gas grill, you can definitely turn it down. When you're doing the charcoal, you need to have your cooking areas, your different temperature areas on the grill.
Cooks Illustrated gave me my favorite recipe for grilling chicken ever. This was some years ago, and I know it by heart now, but it's a lemon chicken. And what you do is you grill the chicken first. You know, you want to, like, put Pam or something on the grill so it doesn't stick. And then beforehand, you take however many garlic cloves you can stand, and you saute them in a little olive oil just till they're soft. Then you smash them, and then you add some fresh lemon juice, as much as you want.
Okay.
And then when you're done grilling the chicken, you roll it in the lemon and the olive oil and the garlic. And then you pop it back on the grill one more time just to kind of sear it all
in.
But, oh my gosh.
Now, see, that sounds great.
It's the lemoniest chicken ever.
Because the lemon doesn't cook off. None of the flavors cook off. The garlic doesn't get burned.
Right.
That's a great idea. I'm trying that
one. Yeah, that was good. That's one of my faves. Rachel Ray had an interesting tip last year. Use kosher salt on the burgers. Always use salt and pepper on your burgers because it falls off into the grill instead of sinking into the meat and making it too salty.
Now, she says to use it in the burger or
on? No, I think just salt on top of it.
On top.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I do a little bit of both. I do a little bit of salt in the burger, and then I will also, when I put it on, I'll season it. And usually I season it when I flip it, so it has a chance to melt in. But I love the flavor with kosher salt or even with sea salt. If you're doing a steak, you put the sea salt on right before you pull it off, and you get that little crunch and that little mineralness that you get from sea salt. And it's really delicious. It's really nice. Yeah.
From Maria on Facebook writes, one of my favorite summer side dishes is couscous. You can cook the entire thing on a skillet on the grill, which is something we haven't really talked about, which is a great idea. Toast the couscous in a pan right next to the burgers. Pour some hot liquid, salt, and herbs over it. Throw on a lid, put it on the table, and it will cook itself while you are plating the meat.
Oh, that's a fantastic idea. And that's another one because then it's not, you know, pasta gets really hot. Couscous, because of the way it's cooked, isn't so hot. And especially when you do it that way, you've already taken taken it off of the heat. And that's a great idea. Using, you know, you need to use cast iron. You can't use your, you know, your really good fancy pans, but use cast iron in your, on your grill. That's fantastic. You can cook your eggs that way.
Right.
You could do breakfast. If
a
you
lot of people
do, like
do their
that.
Bacon on their grill anyways, because they don't want to stink up the house.
Right. Right. Well, now I love that stink, but.
so do I, because everything's better with bacon, even the smell of the house.
Right, exactly.
One thing I wanted to bring up that we haven't talked about yet is summer cocktails.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any favorites?
Oh, yeah. Anything with mint. You know, you do that mojito is pretty fantastic. But we were talking about watermelon. Watermelon and also berries make great juices for cocktails. So do puree watermelon, strain it off, puree some berries, strain it so you're getting just the juice. Add some vodka, again, some mint or some basil if you want to do it, be a little bit different, and shake it up. Those are great. And I'm a huge fan of sangria. Just love it. And you can throw anything you want in. I like white sangria. I like white sangria with peaches in it. It's so good. And red sangria, you know, with grapes, apples, whatever you have handy. Strawberry sangria right now, raspberry sangria. Love it. Those are great cocktails to me.
There, I had a drink. It's called a Moscow Mule. I had it at the Sidebar restaurant on Main Street a few weeks back, and it is fantastic. It has ginger and vodka, fresh ginger in it. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I need to find the recipe for that.
Right.
Because that is my – I only had a few. But I would love many more. They were delish. We're going to quick get a call from Jeff before we have to go, and let's see. Ooh. As soon as that's ready. I assume. Jeff, are you on the air? Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks. I have a summer recipe that's my favorite, and it actually carries me through the winter. The Italians have an expression when they cook, non più di cinque, no more than five ingredients. And there's a great tomato sauce that uses fresh tomatoes, even a little bit overripe, garlic, salt, olive oil, and basil. And it's the simplest thing in the world, which is good because I don't cook very well. but I do make this. And you just cook the tomatoes down. When you cook them, of course, they go to pieces. And as the water drains out, it becomes a rich tomato sauce as the water boils off, actually. And you add the basil right at the very end. And the thing is that this freezes extremely well, and it carries us through the winter. So we have basically fresh tomato sauce all through the winter. You just use quart bags. And if you put in maybe three cooking spoons full of this sauce, maybe four into a quart bag, it's enough for pasta for two. And I found that two bushels of tomatoes make about 35 to 40 packets like this. And that gets you through these Ohio winters.
Well, thanks, Jeff. That's a way to have summer all year long.
Yeah, great idea.
Thank you very much. Thanks for listening. Thank you to Robin Davis, food editor for the Columbus Dispatch, as always.
Thank you. Big pleasure.
Thanks for listening again. You're listening to All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.